Yeah, but they don't. Plutonium 239 is different. They need 238, and they get that from Newton. Let's see, Neptunium, which is an excellent up. Neptunium, they take that, and they radiate it or irradiate it somehow, and then that stuff eventually becomes plutonium 238. So it's a process, and I know they, the Department of Energy is working with Oak Ridge National Laboratories and Los Alamos National Laboratories. We could ask John about that. Maybe he knows about that too. Where they're making that stuff out there. But the delivery to NASA was just recent. And I think they could probably do maybe about a pound or two per year. That's it. So, you know, they can't mine this stuff, I guess. You know, it has to be created, and I know Roy knows a lot about this topic as well, but anyway, back to Ed.
Paul, you are not going to believe this, but I asked my authority, and he says 238 and 239 should not be all that different to me. I'm not calling you a liar, Paul, on the other hand, ..
You think it's hard, but I'm not sure how they make 239. I know you need that for nukes, but this 238 stuff you need for the RTG, and what I've been reading about this over the last, I don't know how many years, it's very hard to get. We ran out, like I said, 10 years ago, and that's why the government is paying big money to get Oak Ridge and Los Alamos involved. So you're saying it should be a lot easier to make this stuff? I mean, they would have been doing it.
No, not easier. Not that much more difficult. That's all. They're both difficult. 238 is supposed to be more difficult, but not as much more difficult as you are implying.
Okay, understood it. I know it's got like an 80, I want to say an 84 years life cycle, half life. So let's say they made it, you know, 10 years ago. It won't be as strong as if they made it today, you know. But yeah, there's some probably 30 spacecraft over the years that have used these things. Pioneer missions that used to go out to Jupiter and all, and they just kept going out of the solar system. The two Voyager missions, Ulysses mission that went into orbit around the sun, polar orbit, you know, which is a really unusual orbit. They used that, and quite a few others, but you know, then they cut back on it, and then, you know, if you ever bring up the picture of Juno, look at the size of that massive solar panel. And they combine these things with these ion drives now, so that's another big help. You know, reduces the weight of the vehicle. If you had to have all chemical on board, the time marches on. But, yeah. All right, let me just go on to, like, I got time for one more topic, I guess. Yeah, I was talking about Jeff Bezos before with his new rocket, the new Glenn. He's also building a lunar lander for NASA. This lunar lander, ultimate goal is to eventually have a crew transfer from the Orion spacecraft in lunar orbit and can then go down to the moon with the crew. And then, again, back up to the, you know, to lunar orbit to dock with the Gateway space station that will be in orbit around the moon. But to develop all of this, Bezos has come up with, you know, using the Blue Origin company to build this spacecraft. He's already got hardware built for this thing. It's going to be about 30 feet high. The first one, he's going to be, first couple he'll be sending, probably three or four, will be without a crew. They'll be cargo missions. And they'll be testing out their new engine, which they're also building, this liquid hydrogen engine. They call it the BE-7. And the BE-7 engine will be mounted inside the spacecraft to bring it down to the moon. That'll be the main engine. So that thing's been tested thousands of hours already on Earth. So they want to see how that works. They want to see how the communications work. They want to see how the landing capabilities work. They've got to be able to land within 300 feet of a certain location on the moon. And you would think, well, this is going to be years away. This is going to be by the end of next year. They plan on just launching the first one. As late as maybe early 2025. And he'll be using his own rocket, Blue Origin, New Glenn rocket, the same one I talked about before, that they plan on eventually launching to Mars. A flight or two after that, he'll be launching this lunar landing vehicle to, as a proof of concept to show NASA that, you know, look what we have. They're involved with Lockheed on this project. They're involved with Honeywell. I think Draper is involved as well. But it's a group of companies that are putting this thing together. And they plan on landing at the end of next year, the earliest. So that's really something. A lot of things to look forward to in the future. But it's part of the net anyway. This part of it is going to come to a grinding halt at 10 after the witching hour. So we're going to turn it back to Roy. Let me drop it. CW. Anyway, we'll be turning this thing over to Roy now. I'll be on the Club Info Net tomorrow night, as well as the swap and shop that always comes on after that. And that's always followed by Newsline, which I always like listening to. And that'll be 8:30 on these repeaters, not 8 o'clock like this one. Roy, over to you. AC2GS, WS2S, for the Space Net Report for the Techno.
AC2GS, our rebels now are done. Thank you, Paul. Thank you for the SpaceNet report. Thank you for all that you do for the technical net and all that you do for the club. We all appreciate it. I especially appreciate it. I have one little question. It's plutonium-238 in the batteries and plutonium-239 in the bomb.
Plutonium-238 is what they use for the RTGs, to make electricity. And they also use the heat. Then they have little pipes that go off. They use each set that they make. They can get like 1,300 watts out of it. Temperature-wise, 1,300 BTU, I think. They use the word watts. But yeah, 238, and as far as I know, 239 for the bomb. Back to you.
Yeah, I mean, basically, they make it out of uranium. You need, unfortunately, a nuclear reactor, because you have to bombard the uranium with neutrons. And so that brings it up to neptunium, which then decays down to plutonium. So the problem is that there's very few breeder reactors out there. The yields are relatively low. And so, and they've been taking all these breeders out of production. So that's probably why the supply has plummeted.
Yeah, it used to be a byproduct of all these nukes that we were always building. That's why, you know, Russia had a bunch left over. We used to buy some 238 from them as well. You know, then now they realize that we need this stuff, so now they have to set up some kind of manufacturing facility, you know, without making a nuke, I guess. And that's what they're doing at Oak Ridge and Los Alamos.
Well, you can actually use a bomb if you're crazy enough, because that'll give you the neutron spraying all around. And it, one of the side products of an exploding atomic bomb is the production of plutonium.
Sounds just as bad as practical.
I would tend to agree, Ed. Anyway, thanks to you, Paul. Thanks to you, Ed. Thanks to Wesley. Thanks to all the people that checked in and had a question or a comment and participated tonight. It's you guys that make or break these technical nets. As always, I like to remind people of a couple of good quotes. Dick may rest in peace. He's banned most of the technical nets with some version of be kind to each other. Please be kind to each other. Friend, neighbor, stranger, what have you. And also, good old Epictetus, it's impossible for a man to learn what he thinks he already knows. So try and keep your mind open to new things. And, you know, there's good. It's good to be healthy skepticism, but automatic naysaying is not the way to deal with the world. So thanks to everyone. We're going to close it up for tonight. We'll be back next Sunday at 8 p.m. Have a great week. Stay safe. Be well. Stay warm. This is AC2GS, who will be clear after I say Slava Ukraine.
Good night, Roy, and good night, 73.